Okay, so I guess the obvious question is, what is this? Welcome to Jeff Merrick Show, by the way. What is this? And I'm going to try not to sound too self-indulgent, even though I'm describing a show that has my name on it. Oh, look, there's my navel. So here's the bare bones of what this is going to be. Monday to Friday, two-hour live show on radio, 590, 960, and 650. Hello to everyone in Toronto, Calgary, and Vancouver. It'll be streamed. It'll also be podcast. Now, on all your podcast catchers, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, etc., sportsnet.ca, wherever you get your podcasts, that's where you can find this show, which replaces Hockey Central. Two-hour daily hockey show. The slant is towards news. So every day, top of the program, Elliot Friedman will be here. The number one news breaker in the industry will join me here in a couple of moments. Again, a news slant to this property every day. And it'll sort of be an industry snapshot as well. We'll have the newsmakers, news breakers as well. Today on the program, at the bottom of this hour, Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner, will stop by. We'll talk about a number of things. We will talk about the Robin Leonard situation and where the NHL is at on him. We will talk about the Jack Eichel situation and if the NHL has a spot to intervene to end this stalemate between one of the best players in the game and the Buffalo Sabres. Talk about various other NHL issues as well with the commissioner of the NHL, Gary Bettman, here. That comes up at the bottom of the hour. Hour two, Doug Armstrong, general manager of the St. Louis Blues, also general manager of Team Canada, naming Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, and raising some eyebrows as well. Perhaps shouldn't, but it does. Also naming Alex Pietrangelo to the team. We all know about the situation between Pietrangelo and the St. Louis Blues, that contract extension negotiation, which ended up going nowhere. He became a free agent, now plying his trade with the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll talk to Armstrong about St. Louis Blues issues and also Team Canada Olympic issues, as that is on the horizon. Kirsten Welsh will be stopping by an hour or two as well. She is the first female official in the history of the OHL. She's done a couple of games. Last week, she did Mississauga Guelph and then did on Friday Windsor and Oshawa. So we'll talk to her about her journey to wearing stripes. And we'll hear from, you know, on this show, there's going to be a lot of, you know, people that you've heard before, whether it's the big names in the industry, they will all be aboard, whether it's, you know, today, you know, a general manager, the commissioner of the NHL, Elliot Friedman. So it's going to be a lot of familiar voices, big name people in the game, but also some voices that perhaps you've never heard from before. Tomorrow, we're going to have Dr. Ali Rendley on. We're going to have a sports rehab clinic segment with her. You're going to hear a lot of voices that you may not have heard before on the program. So it's going to be a combination of your Friedmans, your Bettmans, your Armstrongs, and your Rendleys, or in this case, on today's show, your Welshes. Before we go on, before we bring Elliot Friedman to the program here, I want to say a couple of things. If you're listening in Vancouver and Calgary, this is the airtime normally filled by Scott Rintoul and Karen Sermon. I wanted to say a couple of things about them before we get on to the show. These are two people, and I used to go on their show all the time and had a great time. They're two of the most generous broadcasters I've ever been on the air with, two of the most talented broadcasters as well. This industry can be really cruel sometimes. Last week was a good week for some and a bad week for a lot of other people as well. These are two talented broadcasters. They are even better people than they are broadcasters, and that says a lot. I'm in their corner. These are big shoes to fill. This is big airtime to fill in Calgary and Vancouver that was filled by Scott and Karen. I am always in their corner, offer them full support, and these are two broadcasters who will not be out of work long. They are that talented. I am sure of that. For everyone in Vancouver and Calgary that are used to hearing Karen and Scott, I can promise you I will try to deliver an entertaining program every day, a day that you will find, a show that you will find interesting, newsy, entertaining, and I'll work really hard. Just come right down to it, folks. I'll work really hard to gain your approval and your trust in this time slot. Thank you for being aboard with me today and hopefully for the remainder of the week and for the years to come here on the Jeff Merrick Show. All right, with that, we bring in our first guest. By the way, don't forget, bottom of the hour, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada joins me because he doesn't get enough of me on the podcast. How are you today, Friedge?
It's an honor to be on the Jeff Merrick Show, produced by Jeff Merrick, starring Jeff Merrick, Jeff Merrick Creative Consultant.
You know what I wanted to call it?
What's that?
Jeff Merrick Presents the Jeff Merrick Show, starring Jeff Merrick, trademark Jeff Merrick, but it didn't really go anywhere internally.
I'm surprised. I think that's a perfect name.
Yeah, thanks. Actually, I wanted to call it Rink Fries, but that's for another conversation. Hey, listen, a lot of things around the NHL, and you know, you and I just did a podcast on a lot of this last night, but we'll try to move the stories ahead because now we have comments from a couple of different people.
Yeah.
The Robin Leonard situation, and we all read the tweets over the weekend. You know, Saturday, you know, we kept refreshing Robin Leonard's Twitter feed, looking for more as he promised story after story. And, you know, took aim at, you know, the Buffalo Sabres, also took aim at the Philadelphia Flyers. Alain Vigneault, and there was, you know, hashtag fire Vigneault as he talked about the Philadelphia Flyers. Alain Vigneault gave comment today, and here it is. He says, "I don't know the young man," referring to Robin Leonard. "I consider myself experienced. I can be tough, but I care about my players. I try to do it with respect. As far as me pushing pills, I don't need the income. I have no idea where that came from. I don't know what else to see." So Chuck Fletcher commented yesterday talking about, you know, the medical staff, you know, takes care of players. You know, there's no, you know, pushing of pills from the coaching staff. I'm paraphrasing Chuck Fletcher there. Now we've had Alain Vigneault comment as well. Leonard has spoken to the Players Association. Do we know if he's spoken to the NHL yet? That's one of the questions I'll have for Gary Bettman at the bottom of the hour. But where are we at with the Robin Leonard situation with regards to the Flyers, the Sabres, the PA, and the league?
Well, first of all, one thing that Leonard has done, Jeff, is he has clarified that he did not, it was not his goal or intention to accuse Alain Vigneault of pushing pills.
Yep.
Or illegally distributing medication to players. I do think he intended to be critical of the way he handled some things last year, but he didn't mean to accuse him of that. So he has, I guess, clarified is the best word to say that he didn't want the Vigneault to be lumped into that particular situation. So that's the first thing that we should address here. Mm-hmm. As we reported yesterday, the league has let it be known to Leonard that if he wants an audience to talk about some of this stuff further, he will get it. You know, as you mentioned, there was a conversation with the Players Association yesterday. Leonard, you know, he tagged both the league and the Players Association in his tweets, making it very clear that he wanted to be heard by them. He certainly was. And now I think we all wait to see where this story develops. You know, where do we go from here? You know, even though some of the comments he made got the most air or most reaction, we know at heart the reason that Leonard was doing this is because he's very upset about the treatment that Jack Eichel is getting with the Buffalo Sabres. And apparently it is Eichel's fear that the Sabres won't let him get the surgery and also won't trade him. And Leonard doesn't think that's right. And that is the impetus for him speaking out. So as far as I see it, Jeff, there's two issues now. You know, what happens with Eichel in Buffalo, and does that get settled to anyone's satisfaction? And two, some of the comments he made about, you know, Ambien and Xanax, you know, painkillers and sleeping pills and things like that. Mm-hmm. Where does that go in a conversation? And, you know, some people said to me, "Do you think this goes anywhere? Does it just end after last weekend?" I don't know how you can put that out there and have it not go anywhere. At some point in time, people are going to keep asking questions. Well, what happened with this? What was the result of this? So I don't think people are going to be satisfied until they get some kind of resolution.
See, one of the things that I think one of the things, Elliot, that we should probably know about Robin Leonard at this point is he isn't shy about giving voice to what players are talking about. You know, pick a player on an NHL team. Chances are that player is not going to talk publicly about how he feels about the Buffalo Sabres, Jack Eichel situation, but Robin Leonard will. Like, it almost seems if, you know, and I put out a tweet on Saturday, you know, he's become his own players association. Like, he sees himself, like, in this situation, even though he did add that he didn't exactly at times see eye to eye with Jack Eichel when they were Buffalo Sabres, you know, he's not shy about, maybe for lack of a better way to put it, articulating the conversation that players are having about the Jack Eichel situation. Do you see that as accurate?
Yes, I do see that as 100% accurate. And you know, like we said, Jeff, I think that's the whole reason that this occurred. You know, when we did our podcast last week, one of the things that we talked about was that, you know, is there a worry that if this doesn't get sorted out, you know, Eichel might have a lost season and we're dealing them again with dealing with this again after this coming year? You know, are we still in a situation where he isn't traded because, you know, it isn't settled? And who knows the answer to that question right now? I believe everybody's grinding away to try to find a solution, but it's not easy. It's very complicated. And that is the worst case scenario. And, you know, I had a couple of players reach out after hearing that, and they were saying, you know, they didn't even think that that could happen and how unfair they think that would be. You know, as we've talked about, Eichel is a player who got legitimately injured in an NHL game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like he did this skydiving or something like that. And players believe if you're injured under those circumstances, what is happening now shouldn't happen. You should be taken care of. And, you know, there's no question that Leonard is fearless, probably more so than, never mind just hockey players, I would say a very large segment of the population. And, you know, he doesn't seem to be worried about anything that could happen to him for speaking his truth. And, I just think that, you know, I think everybody knows who he is. Everybody knows the way he prefers to be, and he's not changing that for anyone else. And to be honest, I'm not even sure he was 100% comfortable with doing what he was doing, but he felt it was important. And if he feels it's important, he's going to do it.
We should point out as well for anyone listening, the CBA is structured so that players don't decide what their treatment is. That is something that
it's not exactly true. It's the team has final say is basically what it is. Like, there are examples of, Jeff, you know, for example, and this was not in this CBA, but Sidney Crosby, for his concussion and neck situations, he went, like, I remember we did a story on the chiropractor. We were still at CBC at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, we did a story on the chiropractor that Sidney Crosby went to go see in Atlanta. And there were people at CBC who did not want us to air that story because they're like, this is a chiropractor. Why are you putting a chiropractor on the air? And my answer was, look, if Sidney Crosby believes that this person helped him get back into the NHL, and he does, then that's a story. And I won that argument. But, you know, it was a bit of a battle because it was different. You know, Connor McDavid, his recovery from his knee injury was different. And again, it's pre this CBA, but the Oilers supported it. They were made to believe in the process and they supported it. Now, it was changed, as you mentioned. And what it does is it gives the team final approval. So I think the thing that is the problem here is that the relationship between Eichel and the Sabres went so bad that people are wondering, are the Sabres, like, is that part of the problem here? And this is why that I really think the NHL is going to have to take the lead on this, brokering the solution, because it's like the old line, you really have to love someone to hate someone. And there was once a love affair between Eichel and the Sabres, and now there's the exact reverse. And when the feelings are hard, it makes the situation much more difficult.
You see, I think that, to your point, I can see the NHL wanting to get involved. The NHL saying, like, look, this is bad for everybody. Certainly this is bad for Jack Eichel. This is bad for the Buffalo Sabres, for the Pegulas, for Kevin Adams, who's looking to trade the player. It's bad for USA Hockey, who were looking at, you know, Austin Matthews and Jack Eichel 1-2 up the gut for the Olympics. This is bad for fans of the Buffalo State. Like, it's just bad for the league. Like, there's no one here that this situation is good for. So I can see the league leaning towards, we need to get involved to bring this to an end. The problem is, and listen, this is a room full of lawyers in the NHL. You don't want to create the precedent where you're allowing Jack Eichel to dictate his type of surgery, because there will be another player who will have a disagreement with surgery that is either suggested or not by their team, and they'll point to the Eichel situation and say, hold on a second, why is it okay for Jack but not okay for me?
This is the flaw in your argument, that because, like, I think the NHL can do this. I think the NHL can protect its CBA. And I also think that the NHL wants to protect the Sabres at some level too. But you can do all that. Like, I think there are teams out there that would be willing to consider the disc replacement. Willing to consider it.
Don't you, just as an aside, don't you have to if you're making a deal for Eichel?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. So to me, that's a step. Like, negotiation is a skill. Sometimes you have the hammer. Sometimes you don't. And sometimes you wield the hammer hard, and sometimes you just say, okay, we're going to compromise. Like, so who, like, right now, I guess you could argue the Sabres wield the hammer because they have to agree to make a trade, and they also have the final say on the medical approval. But what are you really winning here? At some point in time, like, you know, people, you're not creating goodwill. Does that matter? At some point it does. You're destroying the trade value of the player, and that hurts you. And that's where I think that a skilled negotiator here could kind of move the Sabres and interested parties in other directions. You know, like, okay, number one, who's willing to consider the disc replacement? These teams? Okay. Now let's work towards making a deal. Now, people are going to say, well, it's interference or favoritism, whatever. I think the league has to do what's best for the league. And at the end of the day, I just don't like the way this is going to end or the way it's going. I don't think it's good for the league. And I mean, I wasn't expecting what happened last weekend with Leonard to happen. I don't know if anybody predicted that. But Jeff, I think at the end of the day, you want to do what's best for your sport, right? Mm-hmm. And the way this is going is not best for your sport. So how can you negotiate a solution with a team that's willing to do the disc replacement and a fair trade? I think that's what you've got to do. I really think that's where we've got to go.
Let me pause on the idea of a fair trade. And I want to get to the agent's role in this as well. But the idea of a fair trade right now, you're dealing with someone who has a significant injury. There's a discrepancy over how he should proceed with it, either the disc replacement or the fusion surgery. We've all been over that a number of times, and we all know how the Buffalo Sabres feel about it. And we know how Jack Eichel, through Dr. Prusmak, his Denver-based surgeon that wants to do the disc replacement, feels about it as well. I wonder about the marketplace, because you're dealing with a player who is injured, and that's where you're trying to make the deal. So if pick a team that we would suspect would be interested, the Vegas Golden Knights.
Okay.
If I'm the Vegas Golden Knights and I'm looking to do a deal for Jack Eichel and I know that I have an injured player, any conversations around a player going back the other way? You know, if the Buffalo Sabres, as part of the deal, ask for Peyton Krebs, I'm probably coming back with Nick Hague.
I don't think that Buffalo and Vegas can make a deal because I think of money. Krebs is I think also because I think I've heard that Buffalo wants Krebs in that deal, and I don't think Vegas has any desire to do that. So
I believe that.
I see it right now, I don't think that's a match. So, but I don't think it's a match.
Then that becomes the question. Where's the marketplace for Jack Eichel?
I still think it's there. You know, at the end of the day, Jeff, like I said, I do think there are teams that are willing to consider this. And it's tough for me to say a number. I'd love to give you a number and say there's five teams that will consider this. I don't have a number because people are guarded and people are careful. And also, you know, the Sabres have say over this, and, you know, you don't want them to be saying, oh, well, there's the Minnesota Wild saying that they would allow Eichel to get that surgery. That's tampering. So people are very careful. So I can't give you a number. Plus, I also think there's teams who would have interest in Eichel that maybe either we don't realize or we haven't thought about or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I do think there, like, the bottom line is this is a guy in his early 20s who signed, and he's a number one center. Now, do we have to sort all this medical stuff out? Yes, absolutely we do. But I think there's a market for that. And look, I just think, you know, every new treatment is different. Sidney Crosby did something that was very different, and he came back at the peak of his game.
Yep.
And, you know, Connor McDavid did something that was very different. He came back at the peak of his game. Somebody is going to look at that with Eichel with the help of their own doctors.
We know that the agent, and this is Pat Brisson and CAA, are looking to help create this marketplace that we're talking about for Jack Eichel. There are some things they can do and some things they can't do. What can they do? Like, what does the CBA allow?
Well, I think what you're allowed to do is, you know, talk up your player, right? Like, I believe they've taken Eichel to a bunch of other doctors for different opinions. And you can do that and say that, you know, this is kind of what we've heard out there. You can, depending on what basically it's in Buffalo's hands, right? Buffalo decides if other people can see the medical records. Buffalo decides if Brisson's allowed to talk to other teams about Eichel. And I think there are some, I do think that Buffalo is allowing some conversation. The last I asked about the medical records was last week, in the middle of last week, and people were saying that those have not been made available. But I think what Brisson's allowed to do is talk. Like, just, you know, see, like, you know, just kind of, you know, what information do you need? Like, aside from, you know, the final stuff, I just think that he's allowed to go out there and say, how can we facilitate this? Mm-hmm. And that's what the job is to do, is to try to find ways to move it along. And I think he's doing that.
Eichel doesn't have the no trade that doesn't kick in until next July 1st. Do you know?
I don't think he's going to have a big problem with going just about anywhere.
I was going to say, like, how in Jack Eichel's mind, how big is the market for him? Essentially what I'm asking is, if they can get a deal done with anybody, would he go anywhere at this point?
Well, look, like, one of the teams that we knew was really big into it was Calgary, right? And Calgary really tried, and not once did anyone ever say to me, he wouldn't go to Calgary. So, like, you know, like, I never heard, like, I heard Anaheim was in it. No one ever said to me he wouldn't go to Anaheim. There's been disputes about whether and how much the Rangers are in or not. No one said to me he wouldn't go to New York. So, like, I can honestly tell you that no one has ever said to me he won't go somewhere. Never heard it.
Before we let you go, Gary Bettman on the other side, NHL commissioner, do you have a quick thought on the two Vancouver deals that have now clicked together as Rubik's Cube and in Canucks land is starting to take shape here? Pedersen's in, Quinn Hughes is in. Your thoughts, Elliot?
Well, it's a win-win. It's a win for the Canucks. It's a win for the players. You know, those are good contracts, and it's a win for Vancouver in a division that's very wide open. They're getting two of their best players back in, and they'll be ready to start the year. Like, I know that coaches hate it when players aren't there on time, and teams hate it when they're not in there on time. But I do think that players are generally prepared to play. You know, now they'll get a couple of exhibition games. We'll get the ratings bump from having them on Sportsnet this week. Again, the Canucks win because they're there.
Yeah.
They win because they got big deals. And, you know, Hughes is obviously signed long term. And in 3 years, the Canucks will extend Pedersen for $11 billion.
You don't think he just takes his QO and walks away after one more season after this deal? Everyone is terrified about in Calgary with Matthew Tkachuk?
You know, like, I hate when people say stuff like that, because you never know where we're going to be in 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the one thing. Like, I've had situations like that where someone signs a bridge deal after a contract negotiation, and people say, oh, it's over, they'll never stay. And you just, you never know. Like, you just never know. Like, I think if, like, to me, it's all incumbent on, is Vancouver good? If Vancouver is a good team, when Pettersson hits towards the end of that deal, it increases exponentially your chance of keeping him.
Yeah.
Because A, they're going to want to pay him because he'll be a big part of that. And B, he has a chance to win. And to me, if you have that and the player's happy in the area, you've got a great chance of keeping him. So if Vancouver plays well and the team gets better, I don't see why they couldn't keep him.
I think Vancouver looks good now for each. I know there's the questions about the Blue.
You know, I think they look good now. I was watching their game last night, the home game against Winnipeg.
Yep.
You know, they're trying to hold on to that lead with a minute and a half to left. And Travis Green, you know, somebody tell Travis it's October the 4th.
No, man.
You can't look that miserable on October the 4th.
He's got one of the best.
What's he going to look like in the middle of January?
He's got one of the best grumpy coach faces in the game. By the way, in that game, and I spoke to a goalie coach from another team on my way into the fan here this morning, who said, like, I was
which
saying,
goalie
like,
coach was it?
No, I'm not going to tell you. But I said, hey, what did you think of Michael DiPietro? Like, you know, I'm a Mikey DiPietro guy. He's like, I didn't think that it was him in net. Like, this guy's come a long way in a short time. You know, Hockey Canada's always had him on his radar.
We've got our Vancouver crushes. Yours is Michael DiPietro and mine like is Rathbone. Jack Rathbone.
Yeah, I like Rathbone. It's good. It's good. Okay, yeah. You are released. Do with the rest of your day what you see fit, Ellie Friedman.
Getting ready for tonight.
Yes. You're in Ottawa. That's right, you're in Ottawa.
Yeah.
See, Austin Matthews doing contact drills now, eh?
Yes, I saw the 3,000 tweets about that this morning. How does this affect the Leafs?
Exactly.
A question you have to ask every guest.
It's funny, I saw Justin Bourne.
Because they love that in Calgary and Vancouver.
They love it.
How does this affect the Leafs?
I talked to Justin Bourne about that before the program today. He's like, we're going to talk about Leonard, but does it affect the Leafs? Him and Kipper coming up later on here on, if you're listening on 590. All right, that's it. Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts. You can watch the Leafs and the Senators tonight on Sportsnet. Thanks, Freach.
Congratulations, Jeff. Thanks, speak to you tomorrow.
There he is, Elliot Friedman.